So I've been, so I did some of the sharing for the VBS. Day one, I shared on the Good Samaritan. Day two, I shared on the parable of the sower. And then my friend Ben Lewandowski shared day three on the Good Shepherd. So, not the Good Shepherd, the lost sheep. And so I've been thinking about this story that Jesus told the Good Samaritan all week. And so I decided, you know what? If it's good for 3 and 4 and 5 year olds, it's good for us, right? So that's what I'm going to talk about today. And I'm going to talk about it in a little bit of a different perspective than maybe you're used to. So typically, you probably are familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan. And most people start the story of the Good Samaritan in verse 29, Luke chapter 10, where the guy, this teacher of the law, asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And then Jesus tells him this story about a certain man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he basically gets mugged. Okay, he gets jumped, he gets beat up, he gets stripped, all of his stuff gets stolen, and he's laying there left for dead, half dead. And then we see two other people in the story. First, a priest sees him and notices this guy who's laying there bleeding and possibly dead. He's unconscious, and he crosses the street, so to speak, and avoids this guy. And he goes on his way to do his religious duties. And then, secondly, a Levite comes along, and he notices him. And he also sees him, and he doesn't want to get his hands dirty, and he crosses the street and avoids this guy. And last on the scene comes the Good Samaritan, and he, the Bible says in this story, is moved with compassion and pity and goes over and helps this poor guy. And he binds up his wounds, he pours in oil and wine, he puts him on his own donkey, and he walks him into town, brings him to an inn, tells the innkeeper, here's some money, and I'll pay you even more if needed when I come back through town, but take care of him, heal him up, take good care of him. And Jesus ends the story, and he asks the question at the end, who is the neighbor to this man? And everybody says, well, obviously it's the Good Samaritan, okay? So that's the way the story is familiar to us. I'm going to tell it to you, though, in a slightly different way. I just spent a week with Dan and Doreen in Mexico, and so I see Jesus in every page of the Bible after hanging out with them for about a week. And so I'm going to share it from the perspective of how the Good Samaritan preaches the gospel to us. Okay, how the story of the Good Samaritan, for title's sake, it's called The Gospel According to the Good Samaritan. All right? We're going to look at it slightly differently than maybe you've seen it in the past, okay? So if you have your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 10, and not starting in 29b, where the guy asked the question, who's my neighbor? Let's start back just a little bit further than that. We're going to go all the way back to verse 25. And, before we do that, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, it is a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your love and your goodness. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for saving us for a purpose and giving us life in your name. And Lord, I just pray you bless our time as we look at the scripture together. And Lord, I totally am dependent on you. So Father, please think through my mind, speak through my lips what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So, starting back a little further, chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying," so a lawyer is basically an expert in the Jewish law, stands up and he asks Jesus a question, but I want you to notice it says he's testing him. To me, that's an initial red flag, meaning I'm not so certain this guy is asking questions just to find out information from Jesus. I think his questions are kind of revealing a bent that's in him already. I don't know that his questions are just purely informational. He's not just looking for information. There's something about, he's basically trying to catch Jesus. He's trying to stump him. He's trying to catch him in saying something wrong so that he could bring accusation against him. That's what it clearly says. So this lawyer stood up, tested him, saying, quote, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Asking the question to Jesus. He said to him, "Well, what is written in the law?" Jesus answers back, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." Verse 29, the first part of 29. We picked it up in the middle of verse 29. Originally, when the story's told, it starts with the question. But notice this. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" So it says here that the lawyer, the religious expert in the law, was A, first testing Jesus, and secondly, he asked this other question, the second question, trying, because he wanted to justify himself. Okay? He wanted to justify himself. The gospel is not about justifying ourselves, my friend. It's about how God justifies us. Okay? Even his very question is kind of suspect. And he says, "What good thing should I do to inherit eternal life?" Eternal life is not something that you do to inherit. It's a gift from God. An inheritance is not something we earn. Amen? It's something that's given to us by being part of the family. And so my point here is this guy's question is a little bit suspect. So I believe Jesus, the answer that he gives is actually revealing God's plan. Not just what does it mean to be a good neighbor or who is our neighbor. I think the answer Jesus gives is a lot bigger than that, actually. He's actually talking about how God has endeavored to save fallen man in this story of the Good Samaritan. Now, I admit I am looking at this parable as an allegory. And normally, I would say when you interpret the parables, you shouldn't do that. But let me just say, there are a lot of the church fathers, guys in the 200, 300, 400, and they actually looked at this as an allegory. So I'm not just coming out of left field on this, okay? There are others that have looked at this same story that Jesus told as an allegory of the gospel. So I'm not alone in that. Let's get into the story. Verse 30, Jesus answered him and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothes and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." Okay, first guy in the story is the traveler. The traveler is going on his way. It's interesting that he's going from Jerusalem high up in the mountains and he's heading down to Jericho. I believe this guy represents us. He represents fallen mankind. He's on his way, on a journey, and he is basically mugged. He's beaten, and he is left for dead. He's fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothes, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Have you found or have you remember anywhere in the Bible where it speaks of a thief? Right? Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And so this guy gets plundered. He gets robbed. He gets stripped. And he's laying there half dead. I believe that represents mankind. That represents you and I. You know? And where this guy is half dead, the Bible says you and I are dead in trespasses and sin. Okay? So this guy represents fallen humanity. Next guy in the story, next two people in the story, now this is really significant, are the first comes the priest, verse 31. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Traditionally, we have seen these guys as cold and hard-hearted and not compassionate and bad neighbors because they didn't want to go help this guy. Here's what I want to tell you. These guys were actually doing their job. Mike, what do you mean by that? Okay, go over to Leviticus chapter 21, and I want to show you something. Leviticus 21, remember, a Levite and a priest. Leviticus 21, verse 1, says, "The Lord, and the Lord said to Moses, speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people, except for his relatives who are nearest to him, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, and his brother. Also his virgin sister who is near to him, who has no husband, for her he may defile himself. Otherwise, he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself." So in essence, the priest and the Levite are commanded by doing what they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to touch a dead body. They're told not to. They're allowed to if it's a close kin and a close relative. They don't know this guy from a hole in the wall. He's laying there. I want you to see these guys as doing their duty, and they're actually doing it well. They're being faithful to what God told them to do, to not go near this guy and touch him. Right? From that verse? So, who in this story, or what in this story, can these guys represent? Well, the traveler who's mugged represents us. The Levite and the priest basically represent the law. They represent the law. The law cannot save us. The law cannot help us. We're wounded. We're left for dead. We're bleeding. We're plundered. We're robbed. We're stripped. We're helpless. And the law can't do anything to fix us. Amen? And you know some of the New Testament scriptures. Romans 3. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Galatians 3 says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. In this allegory, the two guys, the priest and the Levite, represent the law. They were doing what they were supposed to do when they didn't go near this guy. Okay? So, enter the Good Samaritan. Praise God for the Good Samaritan. Enter the Good Samaritan. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Who do you think the Samaritan is? Jesus Christ, absolutely. It's interesting. Samaritans were despised by the Jews. Despised. I don't think Jesus just accidentally made the Samaritan the hero of the story. Every detail of these stories are on purpose. Okay, he was a man despised and rejected. He was rejected by men, Jesus Christ, just like the Samaritan was to the Jews of their day. Yet he comes on the scene, and he has compassion. Scripture says over and over and over, whenever Jesus did miracles, says he was moved by compassion. The Good Samaritan represents Christ. And then he goes, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Come on now, what does that represent, right? The Holy Spirit and the wine of his blood. And set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn. So, I don't know, in this story, I think the inn should represent the local church, right? The place where the people are all beat up, Sin has had their way with him. The devil has plundered him. And Jesus picks him up, brings him to the inn so they can start getting their life put back together. I love this. This is so awesome to see it through this lens. It's really rich. Brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So he takes him to the inn. He reaches it. Now remember, this guy is completely helpless. When he's found, he's unconscious. He's not able to help himself at all. Zero. That's us. Okay? The priest and the Levite look at him. There's nothing they can do. They just pass across the street and go on their way. You know, the law has a role. The law reveals our sin. The law reveals our need for a Savior, but the law cannot save us. But the Good Samaritan, Jesus Christ, comes and has compassion, and he binds up our wounds, puts us on his animal, brings us to the inn. And then, I love it, the fact that he tells the innkeeper, you know, basically took out his own pocket. You know, Jesus, you know, we sing the song, Jesus paid it all. He did. He paid it all. He reached into his own pocket, and he paid for this guy's well-being. He paid for his care. He paid for his, you know, restoration, his recovery, everything the guy needed, the Good Samaritan, Jesus Christ, paid for. This guy did nothing to fix himself, right? He was unconscious. Nothing. But Jesus Christ, the Good Samaritan, paid it all. Then at the end of the story, you know it. So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among thieves? He said to him, well, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So just understand, this go and do likewise. Has God called us to be a good neighbor to people? You betcha, okay? But it's so important that we realize our go and do likewise is basically as we have first been a recipient of God's mercy, of God's healing, of God's restoration, of God's grace in our life, then we're told to go and do likewise. Religion starts out by trying to do good to other people and try to somehow find favor with God. It's 180 degrees backwards, okay? We are called to be good. Kind, good neighbors, generous, big-hearted, help those in need. Absolutely. But it's because we have first been found left for dead on the roadside, lifted up, restored, healed, delivered, helped in every way. And now Jesus tells us to go and do likewise. Amen? So I love seeing this parable, this story through the lens of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And too many times, I just think we need to be careful that we don't just teach it from a moralistic standpoint, you know? Because you can actually teach this story and the hero is the wrong guy. Jesus needs to be the hero of the story. Amen? He's the hero. He's the only hero. And we need to make sure that's the case. So when we're ministering to people, and I got news for you, people can relate to the traveler that's mugged, okay? People can relate to feeling ripped off. People can relate to feeling, you know, not able to help themselves, okay? And so we need to realize that Christ is the Good Samaritan in this story. And we need to, like I said, we need to allow Jesus to heal our lives, to restore our lives, to heal us, to fix us. And then he does command us to go. Go in all the world and preach the gospel. You know, go and do likewise. And so I just wanted to give you that gospel exhortation today. Amen? So Lord, we just thank you. Mark, could you come up and we'll just, I want to end with a song of worship, How Great the Lord Is. Father, we just thank you so much for this simple, wonderful story. And Lord, help us in all the pages of Scripture to see you and to see the good news. And Lord, help us to be those that do truly, you know, show compassion, understand who our neighbor is. But Lord, we understand that in and of ourselves, we're not their answer. Lord, you are the answer. The gospel, the good news, the cross of Jesus Christ is the answer. And Lord, we thank you for that. We love you. We honor you. Thank you so, so much. In Jesus' name.